John himself was not the light. He was only a witness that was sent to identify it. The one who is the true light, who gives life to everyone who believes, had already come into the world. Although Jesus, the very light of life, made the world and all that is within it, the world itself did not recognize him when he came. He came to his own people. He came to the Jews, the Israelites. But even they didn't recognize him. It was only a few that recognized him and believed. And to those few, he gave the right to become children of the Most High God. All they had to do was trust him. They were then reborn, not physically, but it was a spiritual rebirth that was born of the will of God. And so Jesus, God himself, became human, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and forgiveness and truth. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John the Baptist pointed him out to people. He testified to the crowds about Jesus, shouting, "This is the one I was talking about when I said someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." It is from his abundance that we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For remember, the law, the commandments, everything written from Exodus through Deuteronomy was given through Moses, and it was rigid. It required merciless justice. However, God's unfailing love and his faithfulness came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but Jesus Christ, the unique one, who himself is God, has made him known to us. He has revealed God the Father to us. And so at that time, the Jewish leaders sent from Jerusalem some priests and Levites who were their assistants to question John about his ministry. They asked John, "Who are you?" John knew what they were asking, and in a very frank manner, he confessed that he was not the Christ. The priests and the Levites, they continued, "Well then, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet they were anticipating?" In response to this, John said, "No." The priests and Levites persisted as they needed to give an answer to those who'd sent them, to the Jewish leaders. And so they asked again, "Well then, who are you?" John replied to them, quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. He said, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." And so they asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah, or Elijah, or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John, guided by the Holy Spirit, replied, saying, "I baptize with water, yes. But here in this very crowd before you is one that you do not recognize. And he will soon begin his ministry among you. I am unfit to even be his slave and untie his sandal. And it is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." This encounter took place in Bethany, which is an area east of the Jordan River, and it was where John was baptizing. Now the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. knowing what Jesus wanted, John tried to talk Jesus out of being baptized. He claimed that it was he who needed to be baptized by the Messiah. Jesus, however, answered him by saying, "This should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." And so John baptized Yeshua. He baptized Jesus. And he proclaimed, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one that I was speaking about when I said that a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am. For he existed long before me. I did not immediately recognize him as the Messiah, the promised one. But it is for this reason that my entire ministry exists. This is why I have been baptizing people in the Jordan River, that the Messiah might be revealed to Israel." As Jesus was baptized, he was praying. The heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven then said, "You are my beloved, you are my dear beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." John then testified, saying, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. Again, I didn't know that he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus. And so I testify today that he is the chosen one of God." The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. And as Jesus walked by, John exclaimed, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And with this, John's two disciples turned and then began following Jesus. Jesus turned around and he saw these two men following him. And he asked them, "What do you want?" They replied, "Rabbi, teacher, where do you live? Where are you staying?" "Come and see," he replied. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon by this point, and they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they stayed with him until about evening. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of these men who had went with John while he was preaching and baptizing, and then heard Jesus and decided to follow. Jesus then went to find his brother Simon, and he told them, "We have found the long-awaited Messiah." And so Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. When they arrived, Jesus looked intently at Simon. And he said, "You are Simon, the son of John. But you will now be called Cephas," or Peter, which means the rock. The next day, Jesus decided to travel to Galilee, and it's here that he found Philip, and he said to him, "Come with me, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, which was also Andrew and Peter's hometown. And so from here, Philip, he went to look for Nathanael, and when he found him, he told him, "We found the very person that Moses and the prophets wrote about long ago. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth." Nathanael, upon hearing this, he exclaimed, "Nazareth! Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip replied, "Come, see for yourself if you don't believe." So they went to see Jesus. And as they were approaching, Jesus said to Nathanael, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity and honesty. How do you know about me? How do you know what I'm like?" Nathanael questioned. replying. Jesus said, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Nathanael then exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the very King of Israel." Jesus then asked him, "Do you believe this simply because I told you that I had seen you under the fig tree? Be prepared. You will see greater things, greater proof than this." Jesus went on saying, "You will see heaven opened up and the angels of God coming back and forth to me, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the very stairway between heaven and earth." And from here the next day, Jesus and his disciples attended a wedding in Cana. So, what does this have to do with you? What if I tell you nothing? It has absolutely nothing to do with you. That this morning there's going to be no application for you. I mean, you live in the year 2018 in Canada, a nation that didn't exist 200 years ago, never mind 2,000 years ago. And so this story, this account, really has nothing to do with you. Even though you may want it to. Even though you may want me to give you some sort of practical or applicable advice or commission. I mean, that's what I want usually when I hear a sermon. Or when I hear some sort of teaching. I want to know, how does this apply to me? Me. And while it may not have anything to do with you, it has everything to do with Christ. Everything to do with Christ. And really, that's the point. That as we go through Scripture, as we read these different accounts, these different stories, we have to take ourselves out of Scripture and see it for what it is. Right? The accounts in here, this account that we've just gone over, the first chapter of John, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, really it's meant to glorify and to magnify and to point us to who Christ is. Because this account, it sets the stage for the rest of his ministry, as we're going to look at and focus particularly again on his miracles. This account reveals who God is. And so what if instead of being so concerned with how a passage applies to us, applies to our lives, what if we begin to look at Scripture and to concern ourselves with how a text shows us who God is in Christ? What if we begin to see his beauty or his majesty or his righteousness, his holiness, his wrath, his justice? What if simply seeing and beholding the beauty of Jesus in the Bible led us to do the right thing? Is that enough for transformation? Is it enough for life change? To simply just read the account and see the beauty of Jesus. Amen. That's all you get this morning. I'm going to invite the worship team up if they're ready.